This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right, the Bills preseason is now complete, with the games at least, and they now have 2 days. We're recording here on Sunday the 29th. They have 2 days to cut down to 53, and as we've said all offseason, they're going to have to cut some NFL 53-man roster caliber players because they have so much depth that they don't have room for, you know, 57, 58 guys that belong on a roster. You know, that's probably at a minimum. So, Nate, any takeaways from that final preseason game other than they played Allen way too long?
Yeah, I mean, I advocated pretty strongly in the last podcast to not play him at all. And I think the first drive we saw why he did not need to play. So then at that point, like, why not take him out? I think you texted me, Alex, right at the first drive. Like, okay, take him out. He's done. He played almost the whole first half. But within like the first four plays, it's like, why is this guy on the field? He doesn't need practice. Like, he's good. We're good. If the chances of him getting hurt, while they are small based on the offense, and he wasn't trying to do anything crazy. He didn't take any hits, but he still got a chance of getting hurt. There's not like, why bother when he doesn't need to play?
Right. There's a non-zero chance that he sustains some sort of injury, whether it's a season ender or something that hinders him going into the regular season. So why take that chance at all? I mean, he was the best player on the field and it wasn't close. Wasn't hard with, you know, a bunch of Packers backups, a lot of them that probably won't even be on a 53-man roster here in 48 hours. So, like you said, what did he have to prove? I mean, he showed last year wasn't a fluke. I mean, he just went out there and absolutely dominated. Did I have fun watching it? Hell yes. I mean, it was a lot of fun to watch that Bills offense again. And without their best weapon, Stephon Diggs. So it was fun, but it was totally unnecessary to have him out there.
Right, and that's kind of I'm in the same exact position. Like, yes, it was cool. We saw the Bills offense, what they're capable of at like 80% strength. They're going to be really good. It's pretty much a known commodity at this point. But the Bills had three other quarterbacks they could have used, and they only used Trubisky for what, one snap in that game. So I mean, I think it's pretty obvious who the two guys are.
Definitely. And I don't think we saw Jake Fromm looked much better in this game than he did in the first two. And I wonder if that's enough. If you're the Bills, do you want to keep him on the practice squad, put him through waivers, try to get him there, have him be your scout team quarterback? Or they could put Webb there as well. They could very well have two quarterbacks on the practice squad. But you might be able to get something, some late round pick for Jake Fromm from a team that needs a backup. I don't know. But that also might be a guy you try to develop.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, Davis Webb is the guy. I want Davis Webb at least in the building. I don't care what he's doing in the building. It doesn't matter. Is he like an assistant coach? Is he on the practice squad? He's on the roster. I don't care. I want him in the building. Like, everything we've read about this guy, everything we've heard this guy say, he's a future NFL coach. He's a future coach. And Josh Allen speaks very highly of him. Brian Daboll speaks very highly of him. Sean McDermott said last year that he's never been around a player who adds as much value as Davis Webb does to a team. Like, you can't let that guy leave the building.
I think that's right. And I think I said last podcast, Jake Fromm doesn't really have NFL arm talent. And, you know, he can try to make up for it in other ways. But really, if Jake Fromm's ever in a game for you, your offense is limited. So is that a guy you really have to get on your 53-man roster, or have to keep on your practice squad? Probably not. I think somebody out there might trade, you know, a sixth, maybe a seventh, if they can put some conditions on it that it would be, you know, a round or two earlier. But maybe they can get something for Jake Fromm.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Bean tends to pull off trades that we don't expect, like getting picks for guys that are bad. So you never know. But given the trades I've seen this preseason, like Shaq Lawson just went today from the Texans back to the Jets, where he's going to start now for the Jets for a sixth-round pick. Is Shaq Lawson more valuable than Jake Fromm? Yeah, I probably think so. But you never know. You never know how a different team might value a player. So at this point, it's going to be Allen and Trubisky as a quarterback in 53. And man, I would be kind of surprised if Fromm and Webb didn't at both end up on the practice squad, because I don't think any of the other teams are going to want either one of those guys in the 53 either.
I think that's right. And didn't Russell Bodine go for a fourth round pick a couple of years ago to the Patriots?
Yeah, like the Brandon Bean gets some interesting trades done. Like that's what I'm saying. Like you never know. You never really know what you're gonna do, but who knows? And that's another one where it was like a trade that had to happen because David Andrews had like blood clots in his lungs or something and was gonna miss the beginning of the season. It was just kind of a necessity thing. So if another team feels they have that need at quarterback, then maybe they pull the trigger. Who knows?
Yeah. So we'll kind of just run through position group by position group here. Two quarterbacks. Obviously, I don't think they keep three. I'd be shocked if they kept Davis Webb or Jake Fromm on the 53. So running backs, I think we have the same thing here, Nate. We have Zach Moss, Devin Singletary, Matt Breida, all locks to make the roster. We saw Breida be used in some interesting ways in that last preseason game, almost like an Isaiah McKenzie type weapon. But Tywan Jones is one of those guys they may be able to cut and then bring back because he doesn't have to go through waivers.
I don't even think it's a may happen. I think at this point, it's almost a guarantee. Like, Tywan Jones is a great special teams player. The Bills like him. It seems by all accounts that he wants to be in Buffalo. He's not going to get a bigger role somewhere else. He's really good at the role he has, and he's going to be able to win football games. Like, well, I think that that's one that is, I don't want to say it's a lock, but I think it's close to a lock that he gets cut and gets re-signed like almost immediately.
Yeah, and Brandon Bean loves to take advantage of those IR rules. So I think that's first and foremost, if they put one player on IR, I think it's Tywan Jones coming back if he's cut, which I think he will be.
Right, and Jones doesn't, it's not like he has to be on the team. Like, are the Bills drastically better or drastically worse without him on the roster? No, they're not. But I mean, the coaches talk about Tywan Jones in a very positive way. Heath Farwell seems to really like him, and so I think they're going to bring him back. But if they don't, I mean, it's just one of the things that we've talked about time and time again on this podcast. This is a really, really deep roster, and when you have really, really deep rosters, good players don't make it.
Yeah, and as we move along to receiver, we'll see that, you know, kind of play out here. I think there's a good argument you can keep eight, but you can't keep eight wide receivers with only 53 roster spots. I'm sure they would love to not subject Isaiah Hodgins to waivers, but I think they can pretty safely get him through and get him to the practice squad. I mean, he barely played any snaps in preseason. There's basically no NFL tape out there of him. So I think that's a guy they can sneak through, but I think they keep seven wide receivers here.
Yeah. Marquez Stevenson showed too much this preseason to not keep on 53. Cause he's gone. If you try to put him through waivers, he's gone. Kumro looked great. Kumro's a great special teams player. That's really where his value is. Like then Diggs, Sanders, Gabe Davis, Cole Beasley, McKenzie, Locks. McKenzie starting to get vaccinated is huge because, and part of the reason you have to keep seven, in my opinion at least, is when you have Cole Beasley and Gabe Davis not vaccinated, if you lose both those guys for a game, you still at least have five, and then you can use an emergency practice squad guy to get to six. But I feel like you can't have only six when you have a risk of losing two guys at any given point.
Right, and we saw that last week when, you know, Beasley, Davis, McKenzie all had to stay home for 5 days because they're not vaccinated and they were exposed. And, you know, we've had this discussion several times before on the podcast, so we won't beat a dead horse. But yes, thank you, Isaiah McKenzie, for finally doing the right thing, as he put on his Instagram, for the greater good. But I think you're right, Nate. Like, you have to have seven wide receivers because you need to replace two of them. If that happens on a Wednesday that they get exposed, they're gone for Sunday. Like, that's it. You don't have them. So, unless, I don't see the NFL changing the protocols anytime soon, unless it's to also make vaccinated players face those same, you know, exposure timelines.
Right. And the my favorite part about McKenzie's Instagram post is that was for the greater good, a direct McDermott quote from his press conference the day before, like a legit direct McDermott quote, which is great. Like, at least it sounds like that's he heard it enough from the team. You hope other guys do. We're not going to be a dead horse, like Alex said, but having three wide receivers that vaccinated would have been really tough. Down to two now. Hopefully you can, you know, bump that number down as the season goes on, but that's why they have to keep seven. And another reason they have to keep seven is the offense they play. They play a ton of 10 personnel. They play 10 personnel more than anyone in the league. It's probably going to go up even this year. And that allows them, moving on to tight ends, to probably only keep two tight ends.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it kind of depends what you consider Reggie Gilliam as well. He's kind of a fullback, tight end, you know, H-back, special teams ace kind of guy. I have them keeping, originally on the 53, Knox, Hollister, Sweeney, Gilliam, and then putting Tommy Sweeney on IR with the foot issue.
Yeah, that's what I listed Gilliam on mine as a running back because the Bills list him as a running back. But yes, Gilliam does everything. I mean, he's going to play a ton of different positions this year. You saw him get two carries at the goal line, which could be something we see this year. He is very good at the goal line. So we never know. He could vulture some Bills touchdowns from Josh Allen. Who knows? But I think Sweeney going to IR. Now, do you think Alex Sweeney's going to go to IR before or after? So you think he's going to go there after the 53-man roster is set?
I mean, it really depends on the severity of the issue, right? Because if it's going to be something that plagues him all season long, then yeah, he's going to go to IR before the 53, and then you don't even have to worry about him taking up that roster spot.
I think he's going to go, I have a feeling that he's going to go on the IR after the 53, but I think there's also a chance that they just IR him at end his year. Do they need him this year? Probably not. Is if they end his year, you know, whatever. But they can't really. If you IR him, at least you get him back for one more year, give him one final shot. You have to really think he's worth the risk of, you know, cutting someone else, unless you have a second guy with Tywan Jones. Like, if you have a second guy you want to bring back, but a veteran, cut and bring back. But I'm not opposed to the Bills doing it either way.
Right. And just sitting here thinking now, is Tywan Jones necessary on this roster? Because there's so many guys that are really good at special teams that we've already talked about and we've yet to talk about. That, do you need Tywan Jones as your special teams ace? Like, I don't know. I think it depends on what you want to keep elsewhere.
No, and I think I kind of mentioned that earlier. Like, you don't need him. You don't need him. I mean, between like Reggie Gilliam and Jake Kumerow, Matakovich, like, you have Andre Smith. That's four pretty good special teamers right there. Like, you know, and Daryl Johnson as well, another pretty good special teamer. Like, you don't necessarily need him. The Bills just kind of talk so highly of him that you think that they're going to bring him back.
Right. So you listed five really good special teams guys right there. Tywan Jones, if you need a sixth or you want a sixth, I guess, but it's, you know, it's one of those things. Maybe they want to keep one of those young guys we don't expect, like a Cam Lewis or something on the 53, and they just don't really bring Tywan Jones back unless there's more injuries that impact special teams. So it's going to be interesting because I think we're going to get at least one thing wrong here somewhere that we didn't expect Brandon Bean to do, but it's hard to pinpoint it because, like you said, he kind of pulls some rabbits out of his hat every once in a while with trades and does some things we don't expect.
Right. And that's you never know what he's going to do. And this side of the ball is really, I think, the least complicated side of the ball in terms of who's going to make the team and who isn't overall. Like, even the offensive line, I think offensive line would be the easiest position group to project. Like, I think the nine guys, they're going to make it pretty easy to say who's going to make it. Like, I really don't think the tough choices on the O-line, versus some of the opposition groups. Like, I'm super confident in the nine guys I have making the roster for the offensive line.
Yeah, I think this was honestly the easiest position group to project because they're nine deep. There's nine NFL caliber players on the offensive line depth chart. Why waste a 10th spot when you're playing or putting somebody on there that's never, you don't want to play in a game this year? So I think the nine are pretty easy.
All right. So that's, you got Deion Dawkins, John Lucian, Morris, Cody Ford, Darrell Williams, probably the starting five right there. Now, it's not guaranteed, but I think probably the starting five. Then you have Ike Bucker, Ryan Bates, Spencer Brown, Tommy Doyle, who should all make it. Now, Tommy Doyle is an interesting one because I think there is a question about if Spencer Brown can't play at any point as the swing tackle. Bobby, do you try and bring Bobby Hart or Jubo Douglas to the practice squad to call him off to play as the backup? Because I think both those guys are probably better options than Tommy Doyle at this point. But I still want Tommy Doyle on the roster because I think he's gone if you try to put him through waivers.
I think that's right. And from what we've seen of Bobby Hart, he is awful. Like, you do not want to play him in a game. So is Tommy Doyle really any worse than that? I don't think so.
Probably not. I mean, I still, Tommy Doyle is very raw. I mean, Bobby Hart at least has 4 years of being really bad in the NFL as an experience. It's not like even if he'd be being a call up to be the backup. If he's a practice squad call up to start in the game, the Bills are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it takes me back to the Jordan Mills starting at right tackle for multiple seasons.
Oh my God. We spent many a game in that stadium watching Jordan Mills just not block anyone. Just literally snap, didn't touch anyone. Snap, didn't touch anyone. And Bobby Hart does do this. He, in the preseason, he did that a couple times. And if you watch any Bengals games the last 4 years, that happened all the time.
Yeah. If Bobby Hart's out there, you, like Nate said, you've got a lot of problems because you don't want your $258 million quarterback with Bobby Hart in front of him protecting him.
All right. So I guess since we both kind of agree that offensive line is one of the easier position groups to project, we can move on to one of the more difficult ones to project, I think, in both our opinions, and that's the defensive line. This is this is a group that is so deep. And I mean, during the Bills broadcast, I'm not sure if you heard the interview, Alex, but they were interviewing Brandon Bean, and he said he's gotten a ton of trade calls about the defensive line group. Now, whether or not that's true, who knows? They can say whatever they want in these interviews. Maybe he's trying to get more trade calls. Like, who knows? But the group is so deep that it wouldn't surprise me.
I think that's right. And when you look at it, yeah, it's super deep. And there's also a lot of good talent here, not just, you know, rotational guys. Like, these are guys that could probably start if it wasn't for how good the guys in front of them are, especially with how quickly Greg Rousseau has come on. So if you're looking to kind of free up another roster spot and you don't see a path for playing time for one of these guys, then yeah, I think you could definitely see a guy like F.A. Obada, Vernon Butler, someone like that, get traded, or Harrison Phillips. I mean, I don't think they want to trade Justin Zimmer because he's been really good. They seem to love him. I think Phillips and Obada and Butler are probably the three trade candidates there.
Yeah, I think Obada's probably the top trade candidate, and in my mind, that's because he's the cheap. Like, he's a 1 year deal. His wonder deal is a lot cheaper than Vernon Butler. Phillips, maybe, but with him being hurt right now, like, I just can't see him being traded until his injury is kind of cleared up.
I think that's right. It'd be hard to find someone willing to take on Vernon Butler's salary unless they specifically need a guy to do what Vernon Butler does best. And he's a bigger guy that can play both one tech and three tech, but he's more of a three tech, right, Nate?
Correct. And I mean, the Bills could also, like, if you're going to trade him, I wouldn't be opposed to the Bills eating half that money, just eating some of the money and getting a better pick for it. I wouldn't be opposed to that. If it came down to that, like, you got to eat half the deal to trade him, I just eat half the deal. The Bills can afford it. And if that's what it comes down to, I would do it.
Yeah. And they already reworked his deal to, you know, chop some money off of it. But I don't know. It's just Vernon Butler doesn't really move the needle for me. He's just a guy. And F.A. Obada has looked really, really good this preseason, and he's had a great training camp. So I don't know why you wouldn't want that guy on your roster. I mean, Vernon Butler is just kind of blah, where F.A. Obada has a little bit of upside to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer Obada, personally. I'm kind of going off what I saw on Saturday with Obada didn't playing a single snap on special teams or on defense until the second half of the game. That's what made me think like he might be out, because if you're a back end defensive lineman and you aren't playing special teams and you aren't playing in the first half of the final preseason game, I think you're at least got to be at some risk of getting cut. Like Daryl Johnson played in the first half and he's a great special teamer, so that's where he gets his roster spot from. If Obada's not doing that, is it worth keeping him as a sixth pass rusher? I don't want him, but I'm just kind of watching what the Bills are doing and maybe what the Bills are thinking. That's kind of why I think he's not going to make the roster.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm kind of going with what I think they should do here, and I think you're right. The signals they sent in that game is Obada is probably going to be gone. I don't think they outright cut him. I think they probably try to get some value for him through a draft pick, but I have them keeping Obada and getting rid of Butler, whether it's through a cut or a trade, but I think you're right that it's probably the other way around.
And I think, you know, trading Obada to me is not necessarily even an indictment of Obada himself. It is, wow, Greg Rousseau is actually going to be ready to play this year. We don't need this guy that we signed thinking Greg Rousseau wasn't going to be ready to play this year.
Exactly. I mean, we thought that Boogie Basham would be the guy that would, you know, fit right into the rotation, both inside and out. And Rousseau would be a bit of a project, but Rousseau is ready to go, and he's going to contribute right away. And I think he got the start at left defensive end.
He did. He did. And I mean, he's going to get a lot of snaps. The Bills, as we've seen the past couple of years, and probably will even see more so this year with two of the more veteran guys, you know, trying to limit snaps in Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison. The Bills are going to really rotate the defensive line. They're going to rotate the pass rushers a ton. I highly doubt anyone sees more than maybe 60% of the snaps, at least to start the season. So having a deep defensive line is great. And the Bills are deep both interior and out wide. And with the pass rush, I'm really excited to see the Bills just go 4 DNs on passing downs, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And if you keep a guy like Obada, and even if you don't, could even potentially get some wacky looks where you put 5 defensive ends out there to rush, like with a blitz.
Yeah, I mean, and a couple of these guys are athletic enough that when we've seen them be able to play a little bit in pass, we've seen Jerry Hughes play in pass defense a little bit. We know he can do it. So you could even potentially put out 5, drop 1. But I think it's going to be fun what they do with the defensive line. Like, they're not going to do crazy stuff all the time, but just to have the ability to do crazy stuff is great.
Definitely. So it's Hughes, Addison, Rousseau, Epinesa, Johnson, Basham for sure. And that's if you consider Basham more of a defensive end than a defensive tackle. Then Ed Oliver, Star Latulule, Harrison Phillips, Justin Zimmer, I think is a lock. I don't know if we've talked about him much, but he's definitely a lock. They love him. He brings a lot of energy, and he's very, very good for, you know, a kind of end of the roster guy.
Right. I think Vernon Butler makes the roster over F.A. Obada, but I mean, the guys I just mentioned, the only guy I want to talk about a little bit real quick is Star Latulule. He has looked fantastic this preseason. He is doing his job, eating up space. It's going to be another year where a lot of Bills fans are going to scream, oh, Star sucks. Star's not doing anything. When really Star is doing a lot, just not getting in the stat sheet, because he looked great this preseason. And part of the reason these defensive ends looked as good as they did is because of Star.
I think that's right. And I think Ed Oliver might lead all of the defensive linemen in snaps, just because you said how they want to rotate all of their defensive ends a lot. They want to rotate the interior as well. But I think Ed Oliver, you know, because he's a good run defender and he's a pretty good interior pass rusher, I could see him getting, you know, the highest snap percentage. And I also, that's going to be my defensive, you know, side of the ball breakout player this year. I know Ed Oliver is already good, but I think he really takes a leap this year, given what is next to him. He finally has Star back at one tech, so he's going to face a lot of one-on-ones.
Right, and that's a guy who could and does need to take a leap, because while he's been good, he's been an NFL starting caliber player. He's not been a top 10 pick type of player so far in his career. He's shown flashes. He's had games where he's looked like that, but he hasn't been that player yet, and this is his year to potentially do that.
Yeah, and I know it was against a second-team offense, but there was a play that he absolutely just blew up on his own in that preseason game on Saturday, where he just kind of threw the guard to the side with one arm and, you know, stuffed the running back in the backfield. So I'm looking forward to seeing Ed Oliver live up to that top 10 pick.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills' defensive line is going to be so much different than last year, and that's going to be the difference between what they, you know, losing in the AFC Championship game to potentially beating the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game is going to be the defensive line.
Yeah, it's going to have to be if they, you know, take that next step. So we'll move along to linebackers. I don't think there's a whole lot of, you know, potential controversy here over what to do. I think you keep five. And, you know, Tyrell Dodson's not a guy you have to keep, but I think he probably gets to the practice squad. I can't see somebody claiming him.
I think he's a practice squad candidate. I think Joe Giles Harris ends up on the practice squad if no one claims him. But if I think that Joe Giles Harris gets claimed by someone, I think he played really well last year for the Jaguars. He played great against the Titans, even the Titans blew him out. And I think it was week 14, maybe it was week 15. And he looked pretty good this preseason. So I think he ends up on a roster, but I still, that's one of those guys. NFL caliber player, no room for him.
Right. And maybe that's one of the surprises we get from Brandon Bean is Joe Giles Harris ends up on the 53 somehow. And they, you know, kind of trade a couple of guys or cut someone we don't expect and keep him. That's one guy probably on that short list of surprise 53 man guys.
Right. And the deciding factor for any of these guys at the back end of the roster is going to be how good are U.S. special teams? Because if you're going to keep like a Joe Giles Harris over, say, a Daryl Johnson, he's got a better special teams than Daryl Johnson. And that's where I think he loses out.
Yeah, I think that's right. So it's Edmonds, Milano, Klein, Andre Smith, and Tyler Matakevich.
Yeah, correct. And that's, I mean, two special teams guys, three good linebackers, another Andre Smith who can play. Matakevich won't play a ton on defense, but I mean, you have four linebackers. When you play nickel as your base, that's plenty.
Yeah, so we'll move along to corners now. Nate, I've got them keeping five, and I think it's pretty clear cut.
I think the five are easy. I think the sixth is debatable. I mean, Tre'Davious White, Levi Wallace, Dane Jackson, Teron Johnson, Saran Neal. I think that's easy, right? Those are your five, I'm assuming?
Yeah, that's my five.
And then I think you can potentially keep, and based on the, you could potentially keep Cam Lewis as well. That's a question where that's a question that I think is unanswered at this point. Do you keep Cam Lewis? Because he's played boundaries, played nickel. He started on Saturday. The Bills have had multiple guys miss practice time. Like, do you keep him? Maybe you keep him to start the year. Do you keep him the whole season? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, and Cam Lewis is a guy they've gotten through waivers a few times before, as we discussed before we started recording here, Nate. So if a guy like Harrison Phillips needs to go to IR, or Tommy Sweeney's kept and, you know, goes to IR for a while, we're looking at Tywan Jones and maybe Cam Lewis for a guy that, you know, they can sneak through waivers. They're probably pretty confident, but they really want on the 53.
Right, and the Bills really like Rashad Bagos too, I think, and he actually looked really good towards the end of the preseason. But he's a guy, he's going to get through waivers. Like, he's going to end up on the practice squad. I think that's pretty easy to do. And then Nick McLeod could potentially also end up on the practice squad. And with those guys, they aren't making the roster. Like, it's Cam Lewis is the sixth guy, or there's not a sixth guy.
I think that's right. And safety, also pretty clear cut. There was a bit of a shuffling, I think, over the last 2 weeks since we recorded, where DeMar Hamlin is now definitely the fourth safety over Josh Thomas. But Josh Thomas is pretty good. That's an easy practice squad candidate too, I think.
Yeah, DeMar Hamlin plays a bunch of positions. Josh Thomas doesn't. Makes it easy for the Bills to decide that. But yes, Josh Thomas would probably be a practice squad priority for the Bills. But yeah, DeMar Hamlin plays, he doesn't just play safety, and that's why he's safe.
Yeah, so we have Hyde, Poyer, Jaquan Johnson, and DeMar Hamlin. And Jaquan Johnson may be one of those guys that goes to short-term IR.
Correct. And I mean, and McDermott did talk about him after the game and was like very praiseworthy of him. Now, his injury, if it's going to be a more than a week or so injury, maybe you put him on short-term IR and you bring someone in for a little bit. But that's kind of... I think he's safe. And the Bills have liked him since they drafted him. And I still think that they hope he's the solution after Hyde and Poyer are gone, or one of the solutions.
I think that's right. And I've really liked what I've seen from Jaquan Johnson when he's played defense. And, you know, I think, was it week 17 last year where it was all, you know, second team guys, and Jaquan Johnson was the best player on the field, even against, you know, the opposing starting offense.
But yeah, he's been really, really, really good. And I mean, and my favorite play of the season. Do you remember best play he had all year?
You're gonna have to refresh my memory.
All right, Patriots game. First half, threw a touchdown. He threw a pass.
Jaquan Johnson threw a pass. Oh yes.
Fake punt to Sarandio. That's what I'm saying. His best player of the year threw a pass to Saran Neal. And fun fact, I just saw this on Wikipedia. I didn't know this before. Right the second, but his cousin is Lamar Miller.
Huh. I didn't know that.
So yeah. So as some NFL family. Yeah, that's a little trivia. He did throw a pass. I think it was like a 13 or 14 yard pass for a completion. Moving on. There's not much to move on to, but specialists. The Bills didn't have any specialist competition in camp this year for the first time. And do you know when the last time they didn't bring anyone in was?
I can't remember the last time they did not bring in a second punter or a second kicker. It's been a while.
And how about AJ Epinesa, the backup long snapper?
Yeah, let's hope Reed Ferguson is good to go, because we don't want to see that.
His first two snaps were great, and then it just kind of devolved from there.
Yeah, yeah. let's just hope that Reed Ferguson is good to go, but I think the Bills are set at punter and kicker for the next few years, at least.
And the Bills, they could have on the Packers, Mason Crosby punting the whole game. So that's another, at least Tyler Bass isn't punting in the preseason. So the Bills are really upset at specialists. Like, there's no worry as long as Reed Ferguson actually can snap. And if he can't, I really hope they just sign some random long snapper off the street for one game, because we don't need AJ Epinesa long snapping. Well, he did okay. He's a good emergency plan if Ferguson gets hurt during a game. Let's not risk it.
Yeah, you really cannot afford to have a bad snap on a kick or a punt in the NFL. Like, that's the difference in a game. So, Nate, anything else you want to add, or do you want to wrap here for the 53, and we'll come back later this week with a fantasy football special podcast?
Yeah, well, so we can wrap here. I'm excited to talk about fantasy. I'm excited to see how many of these guys we get right. I really think, given what we know, that we're going to get like 51 of these guys right, 50 to 51 of these guys right. There's really two position groups we talked about that we're a little unsure about, and then another one or two that is potentially some surprises. But a few of these groups, I mean, I think safety, specialist, quarterback, offensive line, pretty locked in, which is good to have at this point in the year where we're not having to guess who's making the team, who isn't, because guys have kind of proven it. But the Bills do have a very deep roster, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So there are going to be guys that get cut and make other rosters, and that probably is going to be anywhere from like 2 to 4 guys.
Yeah, so that'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Pollinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. That helps other people find the show. Do us a favor and share it with one friend this week so we can continue growing the pod. Follow us on Twitter at Bills_Breakdown. Send us any questions, comments, feedback to BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.